Hi, Dr. Sonia Olson here, long-term emergency clinician and currently a clinician wellness trainer with Blue Pearl's health and well-being team.
I'm Diana Barone, Blue Pearl's Northeast Regional Social Worker.
Together, we're going to be bringing you our new mobile wellness podcast, Shucking Oysters.
We're going to be cracking open those oysters to get a pearl of wellness wisdom. So let's dig in.
Hi, welcome back to Shucking Oysters with Diana Barone and myself, Dr. Sonia Olson. So good to be back with you. Today's pearl that we want to take some time to hang out and discuss with you is around self-judgment and our perfectionist tendencies in the veterinary profession. Us? Yeah, us. So we've been bringing this up in a number of different ways about taking a little closer look at what serves us and what maybe we can bring awareness to. So Diana, what's the big deal? Why does having perfectionist tendencies even matter?
Yeah, thanks, Sonia. So we're really looking at the importance of self-talk and those perfectionist tendencies or self-judgment or criticism coming out in the self-talk. And self-talk is really referencing the script that we use to frame our lives, potentially really the most underutilized available resource to master our minds and improve our mood. And knowing that our thoughts influence our feelings, choices, and actions, and this is called the cognitive triangle, just thinking about how we can be kinder to the expectations of ourselves and others, and trying not to judge both yourself and others that really need that extra support, time to decompress, or time away. So changing that narrative.
So that's really a great call out with regards to the narrative piece, because I feel like that's one of the things we do get caught up in is this false narrative as veterinary professionals of having to be right, having to be smart, having to be quote unquote perfect. That's a really incredibly isolating experience. And it really also, if we think about it, it's a creativity killer. It stunts our growth, our ability to learn. And we really put ourselves in a position that's untenable of how are we supposed to show up as perfect when we don't have all the facts? We couldn't at every moment. So we really get stuck. Right, Diana?
Totally. And just knowing what can start as maybe trying to approach something with a healthy perspective can turn unhealthy if you're not consistently checking in with yourself. And the perfect example of this is being the first stage of compassion fatigue, which we know as the zealot phase. So feeling like you can take everything on, you can do it all, you're excited to do it, you're motivated to do it, and recognizing how that can quickly turn.
And it also, I think, really is a great call out to notice that this whole concept of imposter syndrome is another piece of this. It's really connected to our perfectionist tendencies, our high achieving selves. So imposter syndrome is where we feel like we're faking it, that we're a fraud, that we're going to be found out. But you know what's really cool is if we reframe when that shows up for us and we get uncomfortable, maybe we could then use it to say, ha, it's a symptom that I'm growing again. So instead of getting stuck with the fear of failure, perhaps we lean into the fact that we are imperfect humans learning and growing.
Yeah, and that fear is a perfectly normal human experience, and we don't necessarily want it to go away because it's not going to, but to recognize where it's coming from, to be able maybe to decrease it by arriving at a place of acceptance, using that mindfulness around it, and then really being able to take stock of what your internal and external resources are. So with that, we do want to practice maybe looking at a worst case scenario, right? What is it that you're truly afraid of in this moment? Recognizing what's evoking a core belief in you, whether it's a fear of failure, whether it's imposter syndrome, but just looking at how this can play out. And Sonia, if you wouldn't mind, you can role play with me, perhaps as a young doctor, as an optimist who feels that she always has to show up in a positive space and hold that emotional burden for others. And maybe thinking about if you guys would like to just listen or if you'd like to journal along with us. But Sonia, thinking about if you can share an experience that really tapped into a core belief in you, where maybe that you weren't enough or that you weren't equipped, and walk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one that comes right away to mind, I was thinking of when I was just completing my internship, which was a fairly busy, critical, multi-specialty internship, but it didn't have a lot of primary emergency. And I was in an environment where I was starting my job as an emergency clinician, and it was a busy evening. I did have the fortune of having another clinician on with me, a more experienced clinician, but I had a blocked cat come in. And truth be, I knew what to do, I knew what to look for, but what I didn't know was exactly how to explain this to the clients, how to prepare and to share the estimate, but importantly also was I had never had the opportunity to unblock a cat. And I was feeling quite a lot of, embarrassment maybe, that I had gone through all this time of school and my internship, and I didn't know what to do.
So take us to the moment that you remember just being stuck and not knowing how to move forward.
Yeah, so I remember standing in the hallway right outside of the ICU going, right, okay, so I've got permission now from the clients. I've made it to that point, and I needed to approach the senior clinician about being with me to actually take time to unblock the cat. So I was about to turn the corner and ask for her support.
And what was going on for you in that moment?
Oh boy, the imposter syndrome was really loud. all the shoulds, I should know how, I should be able to. And also the fear of judgment from her when I approached her saying I needed support.
And so how'd it go?
So I turned the corner and I approached her. She knew that I had the kitty to work with, but she didn't know how much support I was going to need. So when I asked her to be with me all the way through, because I had never been through it before, there was an eye roll. There was a huff. There was a little bit of a, oh, fine, I'll be with you. And it landed so heavily with me. But at the same time, I was expecting that she would do it, but I was disappointed at the same time. We went ahead and set up everything and we got ready to unblock the cat. And she did carve out time then to be with me. And we went through the entire process of unblocking a kitty.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a tough moment to get through, but you did. And most importantly, did both you and the cat live?
That's the most important bit. We survived, Diana. The cat and I both survived. So, but in the moment, it really felt, like I was more interested, obviously, in how the cat was doing. Shocking. That once again, I was paying attention to the animal and not to myself. But after the fact, when I knew the cat was more stable, I really sat with what that experience felt like.
Yeah. Can you share what you took away from the experience? What sits with you now? Your reflections?
It was definitely one of those moments of what we now can call experiential humility. I can call that situation out for what it is now because I have perspective. I have an understanding that as a novice practitioner, when you are forming your professional identity, you need to ask for help. It is in the patient's best interest. It is in your best interest to ask for help, to seek guidance, seek knowledge. Those things will come with time and with cases that you see. You will learn from the patients. You will learn from the clients. But when you are a young practitioner, there's so much you have not yet had the opportunity to see or do. Be easy on yourself, for crying out loud. It's hard not to feel like you're supposed to have it all figured out. I know. But have some awareness of it and then give yourself just a crap ton of self-compassion and recognize you're growing, you're learning, and every single time that next situation shows up, you're going to be better and better and more prepared.
Thanks so much, Sonia, for sharing that and for your vulnerability around that. I think you really touched upon the concept of psychological safety as well. And that's the belief that you would be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, mistakes, and knowing that we're really trying to undo that in this profession. So I appreciate you bringing that up. And I know you wanted to share a pretty important resource for anyone that might want to know a little bit more around this.
So one of my most favorite authors, speakers, is the social psychologist Brené Brown. She's quite prolific in her writing and speaking around things such as shame and vulnerability and showing up as messy, imperfect humans in such a way that it celebrates that that's just part of being a human, that we can support ourselves and each other in that. There's a really great quote that I wanted to share, Diana, and it is that no matter what gets done and how much is left undone, I am enough. It's going to bed at night thinking, yes, I am imperfect and vulnerable and sometimes afraid, but that doesn't change the truth that I am also brave and worthy of love and belonging. So that's a quote out of Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection. It's an excellent read. So I would love to maybe just have people be aware of that as a resource, Diana. So this really leads into very nicely into the next conversation that we want to have with you, which is around, hey, you know what? This self-care business is important. It's self-awareness. What do you need? And part of that includes boundaries. Whoa, making boundaries, holding boundaries. Easier said than done. So the next pearl that we will bring to you when we come together next will be around the importance of looking at expectations and of considering boundaries for yourself and for others. So until next time, please do take care of yourselves. Know that you really genuinely matter and you are already worthy of belonging and of care right now. Until next time, be well.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sonia. Take care and ciao for now, guys.
For more episodes of this podcast and other health and well-being resources, head to mypluepearlvet.com.